Blog Talk Radio.
I heard there was a secret chord that David played, and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do ya? It goes like this: the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, and the major lift. The baffled king composing hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Your faith was strong, but you needed proof. You saw her bathing on the roof. Her beauty and the moonlight overthrew you. She tied you to her kitchen chair. She broke your throne and she cut your hair. And from your lips she drew.
Cosmic Citizen, this is Paula Thompson, and it's Saturday morning, and we're on the Cosmic Citizen on Blog Talk Radio, and with me is my dear friend, Diane Lebrecht. Hi, Diane.
Hi, Paula.
We are doing our Cosmic Family, United Urantia Family Show, and we're all so excited about it, and we've got a lot of callers who are going to call in, and this is all about a celebration that's coming up in the summer of 2013. That's going to take place in Yosemite National Park, which is just a magically beautiful place to begin with, and a legendary place in many ways, and it's legendary for most of us because it's the home of the grizzly giant, and supposedly, as lore would have it, the headquarters of the archangels on our planet, on this world. So we're going to celebrate Jesus' birthday there. And so what we have planned for you today is Diane is with us. And right now on the phone with us is Charles Lawrence Olivier. Hi, Charles.
Good morning. Pleasure to be here.
Good morning. Yeah. Our resident angel expert is with us right now. And And we're going to be talking about the United Urantia Family Festival coming up this summer in Yosemite. So I'm going to let you say a little bit more about it, Diane, and tell us what you want to talk about today.
Yes, for all your listeners, Paula, I think it would be important to mention that we will, as a family, a united Urantia family, we will gather together for 5 days, and that will include Jesus' birthday, and so it will be from August 20 to 24, from Tuesday to Saturday. Jesus' birthday next year is next summer is going to be on a Wednesday, so we will have people travel from around the world. We already have many registrations, and we have people from Europe, from different countries. And so on Tuesday, we will gather together. At night, we will have a nice barbecue and a meet and greet time. And then the next day we get up, and right away it's Jesus' birthday. So after prayer and worship, we are going to all go and meet at the Grizzly Giant and have a beautiful worship service, a one-hour service in the midst of the sequoias, those beautiful sequoia trees and the Grizzly Giant, and everybody will be there. And so it will be a personal and a family pilgrimage. That's the way I feel about it. And so we will talk about it more. But I just wanted your listeners, all the listeners, to know that it's at Yosemite Park, and it's from the 20th to the 24th. Actually, I think everybody has received our invitation yesterday, and they can just double-click if they want to reserve their place. They can double-click on the website to go have more information about it. And on that, I will let you speak with our first family member, Charles Olivier.
Hi, Charles.
So Hello again.
You were at the very first United Urantia Family Festival, as was I, and of course Diane, because Diane, you, this is your brainchild and something that you conceived of and had a great passion to bring to life. And I know you were inspired by and led by Jesus on this. And so, Charles, you were in Montreal. I was in Montreal, and that was in 2010, in the summer of 2010. And we love Montreal. It was absolutely beautiful. What do you think did you take away from that Montreal experience, Charles?
Well, I have a few thoughts. I appreciate you asking. I remember counting about 10 groups, plus or minus. And what's significant about that is I've never, all the conferences and gatherings I've attended, I've never seen that many different groups represented. So I attribute that to an underlying unity in God's grace. So I attribute it to God's grace. Whenever human beings can unify in a good and meaningful way, I think it's due directly to His grace. So that's the manifestation of His grace. And that's one observation I made that pleased me greatly at Montreal. And furthermore, it was built around Jesus. Jesus was the central focus. And anytime we approach Jesus with a sincere heart in the search for truth, which is the search for Him and the Father through Him, unity will also be achieved. And another thought I had at the time, and I've reflected upon this since then, is that this unity was may be understood, I think should be understood, as a family concept. And family is such a profound notion, from the mortal world all the way to paradise and in between. Those are the highlights that meant the most to me at the time and still do.
Why do you think it's important for us to gather, both of you, Diane and Charles, as a family? And how do you think that a group of total strangers who really aren't biologically a family can learn to treat each other in that way?
Well,
and I want to add a caveat to that, because
sure.
I kind of learned this the hard way. Not all families treat each other well, whether they're biologic or not. And sometimes people can come together who have no biology and truly be a family. So, you know, how do you think we get there? I mean, certainly I understand that Diane's dream about the United Urantia family is a step in that direction, that we would come together and just celebrate our siblinghood. So, but I'd really love your both of your thoughts on that.
You wish to go first, Diane?
Okay, I would like to leave most of the time to you, Charles, but I would like to say one short thing. To me, there's no magic. It's so simple. It's called love. And when you use love, you start to open your heart, and two things happen, because as some of you know, I come from a family of 12, and we've had, in a microcosm, we've had to learn to love one another in a certain way that today I look at it, and we've developed respect, understanding. And when you start to understand your neighbor, when you start to understand your sibling, as you said so well, Paula, you start to love them just a little bit more, and then just a little bit more again, and so much more than you start to respect and accept the differences, the different characters and all that, and then you realize, hey, you know what? He's or she's just about as great as we are. So it's love is the answer. It's not even love is the secret. Love is the answer, and then love does the work. All we have to do is the domino effect. Open the love valve, and then the magic, the miracle happens, and the family builds itself. So go ahead, Charles. I would love to hear what you have to say.
Well, thank you. To build on that, it's the love of God that is the quest of the ages. It's the, as has been used many times, but most deservedly here, it's the pearl of great price. It is a quest of the ages. It's a personal quest. And it's a quest of humanity to find God. And of all his attributes, love is the most important. In the Urantia book, in the first five papers, the concept of love, as written by the Divine Counselor, is mentioned more times than the next two concepts that are brought up. And love from the point of view of God is a father's love, meaning if you can acquire, if you embrace the father's love, You can love even an unlovely world, as Jesus once put it. So the family, to go back to your question, your focus of your question, Paula, with regard to family, the family concept, the universe family concept, even the personal or human family concept, should ideally be built around the love of God as a father. And if you sincerely and truly believe, if you have faith in and believe as well in God as a father, then every other mortal, every angel, every midwife is your, in a sense, your brother or sister. And because we are his sons and daughters. And I believe that's literal and has practical or should have practical repercussions. If the way to reduce or avoid the bitterness that many human families experience, whether they're biological or adopted children, I don't think is the point, is to discover in your own life, discover for yourself the love of God. But I think there's more. This relationship, this brotherly, sisterly relationship, as his sons and daughters of a living God, of the living God, is best fostered by a kinship of mind and soul, to the extent that we can discover or discern how we are kin in terms of mind and soul to our fellows, to our brothers and sisters, then family will be augmented. Family has the virtue of being both a personal and social institution. It's a nurturing institution. But family concept is intrinsically nurturing. And by nurturing, it helps human growth, the growth of the person, the mind, the soul. Those are some of my thoughts.
You know, and I'd like to add to what you both have said, and that is that it occurs to me, and the Urantia book reiterates this many, many times, that that we can fall in love with each other, and this would be true even in families. Families that can't seem to find their love for one another. And it tells us the lessons of the family, you know, and how important they are, the lessons of patience and altruism and forbearance and tolerance. These lessons are first learned in the family, and that's why the family is so important. But the Urantia book gives us also a clue to how that can be done, and it's done by really, and it says it's a simple formula. To fall in love with somebody, you must get to know them. And it gives us two things. It says you must come to know their motives, a person's motives, and sentiments. And you know, you wonder, could it be that simple? But really, if you come to know a person's motives and sentiments, and you come to know them, and you develop sympathetic understanding for who they are, then you do, and the Urantia book promises, and I think Jesus does too, you do eventually fall in love with them. And that what it says is you'll become friends, and that friendship will ripen into love. And I think we've all experienced that. I know, Charles, you have. I feel that way about you. I feel that way about Diane. I feel that way about so many people that I've come to know because of my association with the Urantia book and the friends that I've made in the Urantia movement. And I can say for of a certainty that I love them like I love my family.
Mm-hmm.
And that I would do anything for them. You know, I mean, anything that wasn't immoral or unethical, obviously, but I mean, I would lay down my own life for them as you would for your friends. That's how great the love is. And but if we don't come together, and I think this was what your whole point in creating the United Urantia Family Festival and the United Urantia Family in general, Diane, was that we would have a place where the only agenda was let's come together and get to know one another. Let's just celebrate a festival.
Yes. And I would like to say something.
Yeah,
I would like to say something, Paula, very shortly. We are Jesus' family, and we know it, and the world knows it, whether they want to accept it or not. Many millions accept it, and there's a few million just waiting to accept it, but it's only a matter of time. And in the meantime, we are Jesus' family, his children, and he wants us to be a united Urantia family or a one united global earth family. Urantia being the name of Earth. And I would like to add, in line with what you said, Charles, and what you said, Paula, that if we rise above all that, that human family that we were talking about, the sibling from our biological family to our spiritual family, the same applies to all the different religious families. And we need to become a united family. I saw a movie a few days ago, The Life of Pi, which is a beautiful movie.
Me too.
And I loved it. There's one line that stuck to me throughout the whole two-hour movie, and that is when he goes and becomes a Muslim, and then becomes he adopts also Judaism and Christianity as well. And then his parents are just like about ready to have a fit. You know, what's wrong with our son, you know? And then he answers something like, faith is like a house that has many rooms. Mm-hmm. And I thought, what a beautiful analogy.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is what it is, the idea of being a united Urantia family, meaning a united earth family, that when we start to understand our neighbors, Muslim, our neighbors, Jewish people, Buddhist, all religious beliefs, we understand we're made of the same fabric, we're all human, we just about basically have the same needs, and then we start to love one another, to accept one another, and to respect each other. And that's what Jesus wants us to become, one big united Urantia family.
There you go. And our beautiful friend Crystalline just joined us. Hi, Crystalline. Crystalline, are you there?
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, Crystalline.
Good morning, Crystalline.
Good morning. I have my phone muted, so it took me a minute to get on.
So good to have you.
Thank you.
I hope you're feeling better this morning.
A little bit, yeah.
Oh, good, good.
Welcome back, Crystalline.
What a
Thank
pleasant
you.
Surprise. One of our family members.
Yes.
Speaking of family.
One of our United Urantia family members.
Yes.
Who was also in Montreal. And you know, I might add that Diane has a nice list of people who joined us in Montreal, and they're all going to be calling in today. Charles, what role are you going to play in this upcoming event?
Oh, I'm not sure. I'll contribute as best as I can in any way that I can, and I'm hoping that I'll be in the process at least somewhat receptive to God's grace, to Michael's grace.
Charles is our advisor, Paula. He's our wise man of wisdom. So every conference call we have, he's there. Thank you so much, Charles, for your great wisdom. And he listens and then offers suggestions. So he's the advisor to all the committees.
Oh, great.
You're very generous. Thank you, Diane.
It's the truth.
Well, you know.
Go
ahead, Charles.
I wanted to comment on something you said, Paula, and then something you said, Diane. First, Paula, one of my students, I was a teacher of history for high school students for many decades, as you know, and one of my students asked me what the purpose of the universe was. The question was per the moment. So I answered in a Zen-like manner to foster friendship, and he seemed satisfied by that. Friendship in the context that you brought up and the meaning that you brought up is quite profound and perhaps infinitely beautiful. As Jesus said, the greatest love a friend can have is to give, at least in mortal context, to give his life for another, and without real reservation and in love, as an act of love. Indeed, Jesus described the crucifixion and experience, the impending crucifixion experience, as a great outward sorrow. And only someone who would love us as a friend in the Jesusonian sense, in the sense of Jesus, would make a statement like that. And he said, I remind the people listening that Jesus, in one part of his farewell discourse, if you remember, said that he reminded the apostles, you call me master, but I don't call you servant. I would be your friend. And friendship should be understood in that sense. The other thought I had in reference to you, Diane, just to try, attempt to add to what you said, in terms of different religionists, or religionists of different traditions, trying to unite on some level or find some common ground. Your answer book gives us a magnificent concept of cosmic citizenship. And I think of cosmic citizenship in the context of family with the finite God, the Supreme. And
mm-hmm.
citizenship does entail many duties, and it has its own sense of morality. But I think when it's approached with the love of God, it becomes not only powerful, but becomes noble. And its true grandness it lies in its nobility. And the brotherhood, the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man, I think is really beautiful, is supremely beautiful because of this nobility.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
that,
true.
That is access to the fruits of the Spirit. That's what makes this whole, this larger concept of family far more substantive, far more beautiful and true and good.
Indeed,
but with regard
yeah.
to Yosemite, I did have some, did make some observations and thoughts about Yosemite, but I'd like to wait and let someone else speak.
Crystalyn, what do you think?
Well, I just wanted to you know, point out, because I missed the first few minutes of the program, so I don't know what's already been discussed, but just to reiterate that this is not going to be a conference.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, the purpose of this is very different. We're not coming together to study the book together and to engage in workshops and discussion groups and those types of things. The purpose of this is to really get to know each other. in an intimate way, and to foster a deeper sense of family and friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
also to enjoy also having fun, having recreation together, and doing the kinds of things that families do when they go on vacation together, you know, to really relax, have a good time, at the same time develop more intimate relationships.
I love that. You know, when you, and I think from the moment, Diane, you shared the concept of the United Urantia family with me, I totally got it. And because oftentimes we engage in conferences and we want to study the Urantia book. The Urantia book is so important to all of us, and it's so deep and so meaningful, so profound. And we want to study it together. And we want to mine it for meaning and value. That, and of course, it has those things abundantly. But sometimes we forget that the spirit of its teachings is to unite humankind as a family.
Absolutely.
That what it brings is the brotherhood of man, the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. That's its core message. That's its central message. We aren't orphans. We're not cosmic orphans. We're not alone in the universe. And we are one family on a planet in space. And our family on this planet belongs to a greater family, a cosmic family. And, you know, we've had a time out. It explains that to us. But it's time to come back now into the grace of the universal fold. And into it's like, you know, even like an unruly child that's had a time out. You get to come back at some point and learn your lesson and move on. And the lesson for humanity is so clear to me. It's never been a question of whether or not God loves us. Every prophet that's ever come here has said that. What we don't seem to get is that we should love one another. And that's our choice. And I think the Urantia book and Jesus also, because he says, you know, you will know them by their fruits. And from that I get, by knowing a person by their fruits means you got to take time to get to know them. You can't tell any. I wouldn't know if someone was kind or loving or tolerant or sincere or loyal or honest or trustworthy in an instant. I have to see them in many different situations in life to know that about them. So what he's telling me and what the Urantia book tells me is I have to take time with people.
I can't
just magically fall in love with them. And so that's what the United Urantia Family Festival is about, taking time with people, taking time with each other. Go ahead, Diane.
Oh, I was just going to say, in line with what you're saying, it's so true. I just wanted to say that we have 7 beautiful family members as our guests today. As you said, mm-hmm. our appreciated colleagues, Charles Olivier, Charles Lawrence Olivier being one of them. And we also have Marianne Brundage. We will have Jeffrey Waddles with us. We will have Meredith Penny, Ron Craig and his daughter Liz. And then we also have Pato Benton. So just to keep in line with the schedule, how would you feel like if we welcomed one of our family member? The next one, I think it should be Marianne Brundage. Would it be all right?
Of course.
About we say thank you to Charles?
Yes, Charles.
My pleasure.
Charles is in right now in Taos, New Mexico at the San Geronimo Lodge doing a special tribute to our good friend Chick Montgomery, who passed on a few months ago. And so, Charles, have a wonderful time and give everybody there, including Pam and all of our friends from Santa Fe and New Mexico, our whole family from that area, give them our love and good wishes.
I shall do that.
Yeah.
We love you,
sure.
Charles.
Thank you.
My love to all of you.
Yes.
May the rest of the show be peaceful.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I would like to say one thing,
okay.
Paula, just a few seconds, because you talked about San Geronimo and we know how gifted totally gifted Charles Montgomery was such a fine artist. Patrick Yash, who knew him very well, is inviting all the artists who want to participate for next summer at the celebration, Jesus celebration. We're going to have a temple dedicated to the Father, and then we will also have an actual, outside, when amphitheater. We will have an amphitheater where art will be exhibited. We will have an audio system, state-of-the-art audio visual system. So people who have all kinds of art, please come to our website, contact Patrick Yash, let him know about your artwork, and Patrick will contact you directly, because we are going to celebrate the family as we are surrounded and bathing in art from all the Urantia Book readers who have participated. So I just had to say this.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you. Okay, well, here is Marianne Brundage.
Hello,
hi, Marianne.
Everybody.
Hello.
Hi, Marianne.
Thank you so much for having me. Hi, Diane.
Oh, thanks for coming on. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about yourself. I know that you're going to do the music, and we've uploaded some songs of yours that we'd like to play. So.
Great. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Well, I've been involved with sacred music for a long time. I've just finished 17 years of working in traditional church settings, working with choirs, handbells, youth bands, adult, you know, contemporary bands. I've had a lot of experience putting musical groups together and doing performances with orchestra and all those kinds of things. And so I'm very excited about this. We have four other musicians besides myself who Diane has talked to, and I've spoken to a few of them, and we'll be talking to the rest of them certainly by January. And we're very excited about this whole thing. We're going to be having worship every morning.
Huh.
And, you know, my passion has always been to create sacred space with music. And so the thought of using music this way with these other folks and assisting, you know, our family members, our Urantia family members, to be in an attitude of worship together, I just feel like, you know, music is that universal language of the spirit, and I just feel that we, together with Patrick's art and our music, are just going to create some sublime moments where we really will feel the presence of the Heavenly Father and the angels. We have different themes for each day, including one, you know, our final day on the worship, the one for the service to the many, which is an interfaith theme, where we really show our respect and honoring of all the religions of the world and realizing that the Urantia Book is for the whole world. You know, that you don't have to be a particular faith, you know, to let the Urantia Book be your guide. And we also have on one particular day a theme of the Universe Mother Spirit. And that is also a day that we will be honoring the Red Man and his contributions. So the Native American idea with some of the Native American food, and just some of the beautiful spiritual moments that can be gained with some of these tremendous instruments. I'll be bringing things like Tibetan singing bowls. I happen to play Celtic harp, and we have many other really fine musicians coming. So along with our four mornings of worship, we will have a concert on Thursday night with our musicians, which I'm very excited about because each one in themselves, we have Barbara Hester, Robert Aponte, Christina Seaborn has indicated she's coming on board, and I believe also Brother Joshua Wilson, who I haven't talked to him yet. But all of
and Pato.
People, and it, pardon me?
Yes.
Pato?
Yes, he will tell us later on. He's coming on the show.
Okay.
Yes, right, right. So I think it's just going to be very exciting because all of these people have dedicated their lives to this book and to music about this book and to the spiritual path. And I think in working together, I mean, we're going to be a team. It's not just going to be this person gets up and does their thing and that person gets up and does their thing. We're actually going to be a team. And we're going to let the Holy Spirit, our thought adjusters really move through us as we put this program together. And we'll hopefully be meeting before the event. We're tentatively talking, and I don't want to give too many details because I haven't talked to everybody yet. But there is a plan to meet and really exchange ideas, and I think we're really in for something very special.
Could I play your song right now?
Sure,
Marianne.
Which one?
How about Angel's Prayer?
Okay.
How about that, Diane? Is that good?
No, it's not good.
It's marvelous.
It's excellent.
Okay.
Yes.
This is Angel's Prayer.
Thank you.
By Marianne Brundage.
Thank you.
create a sacred space with that song, Marianne.
Oh, thank you. That was the plan. Yeah.
Wow, beautiful.
And you know
beautiful.
What, Marianne? I was just thinking, Paula, Crystalline, and Marianne, I was just envisioning being there in the forests and the woods of the great sequoias at the grizzly giant, where we know that we are going to be under the watch care of Jesus in the presence of angels, as our theme is. And I can just feel, you know, the angels hovering over us. It's going to be a one-time event at Jesus' birthday on August 21st at noon, when we will have your beautiful music like this, Marianne. It will be a divine moment. It will be superb.
And right now we have Jeffrey Waddles waiting on the line, so I'm going to put Jeffrey on right now. And Marianne, stay on with us, okay?
All right, thank you.
Hi, Jeff.
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to the
Cosmic
Citizen.
I'm so glad to hear your voices.
Thank you. Yours too.
Hi, Jeffrey.
Bonjour, Diane.
Bonjour, mon cher Jeffrey.
So now we've just had a taste of the music that we're going to have at the United Urantia Family Festival. And just so everyone knows, I plan to go. I think I was the very first person to register.
You were.
And I will be there with bells on. And Jeff, what's your involvement?
Well, let me tell you this, just a little bit of a story here. I've known Dion for about 10 years. And when she told me that she was creating this event or helping to create this event, I said, I think I can help you. And I said, I've written something on John Muir and the aesthetic glories of Yosemite. And she saw the paper, and she said, this is beautiful. Did you write this? And, and it was, and so she said, well, look, why don't you do this, the keynote for it? And I said, well, what about one other idea? I've been doing projects on beauties of nature with students in my aesthetics class, and I'd like to try to do this kind of long distance. And one of the ideas I've gotten from you all this morning is about taking the research of different individuals and their personal experience and weaving that into the presentation that I do at Yosemite.
Oh, wow. Beautiful.
Great idea.
So can you tell us a little bit of the history, you know, just briefly, the history of this area? And
Well, let's see. I am working on a book in Truth, Beauty, and Goodness. It's a philosophy of living. And so the middle section of it, the beauty section, is on the theme of what I call walking in beauty. And I, you know, that's a very common phrase. I think it's originally a Navajo phrase, and a number of American Indian groups use it. And so there's no copyright on the phrase, and so I use it too. And it has a living amid the beauties of nature dimension to it, and an artistic living dimension to it. And I think Crystalline beautifully expressed, you know, everything is about friendship in the end, too, and about personal relationships in the universal family of God. But when I am able to get my students into experiential projects, when they can actually put into practice the ideas from, you know, the greatest explorers of beauty that we've ever known, then their growth is just awesome. And John Muir is the person I've been writing on for some time now. I have an article titled John Muir is a Guide to Education in Environmental Aesthetics. And that article is coming out this coming fall at the Journal of Aesthetic Education. And I thought, well, I can, this is what I proposed to Dion. I said, would you like to send out this article to the people who are registering for the festival, and then with some more instructions about how they can use, put very crudely, the layers of consciousness approach here to take their own experience of the beauties of nature to the next level. And she was game. She said, let's do it. And that's what's underway.
That's our Diane.
No, really? Well, with such talented people as you, Jeffrey, and all the other family members that are going to be there, we can't do anything else than say thank you, God, thank you for those gifted children of yours. And it's going to be so welcome, Jeffrey. And also because the ones who have been there, I must tell the listeners, you have to see the beautiful amphitheater, brand new, built this past January. It's right in the middle of the forest, in among those tall trees, and it sits 350 people, and that's where Jeffrey is going to give us the privilege to listen to his presentation with the audiovisual presentation, state of the art, and it's right there, no traffic noise, just the birds, the bees, the water, and the human voices. And it's going to be a delight to be witnessing that.
Dionne is helping me talk about the audiovisual part. She's sending me slides and helping me out with organizing this so that I don't put too much heavy philosophy in there and do something in the spirit of all of this. But, you know, the very notion of festival speaks of rejoicing, speaks of delight. And as I view it, delight and rejoicing are human responses to the perception of beauty. And what one of the things we can learn so much from John Muir is, to pick just one but very important theme, the theme of the harmony of contrasts. Mm. John Muir teaches us about so many different kinds of contrasts in his many writings, and some of them are simple and obvious, and some of them take a long time to notice and figure out, and some are very complicated, and some... You know, he writes about the giant sequoias, and, you know, there are easier things to appreciate aesthetically than a giant sequoia. And he takes you through the jaggedness and the ruggedness and the, in some sense, awkwardness of certain aspects of the sequoia that are so hard to encompass in a woods where you can't see it from, you know, take in the whole thing from far enough away sometimes to see it very well. But all of these kinds of harmonies, I believe, have analogs in our relationships with our friends on this planet.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. And, you know, my first pilgrimage to the giant trees was like worshiping in the tabernacle of nature. I mean, it was the cathedral of trees. And just to stand at their base and look up, I mean, you almost, if you're a lover of God and a lover of beauty, truth, and goodness, you can't not get worshipful in that environment. Mm. It's just going to make all of us.
It's very awe-inspiring.
It is awe-inspiring. And I wanted to really quickly share a quote about that because I think it's just so poignant right now and at this moment too. It's from paper 167. It says, "When it is not possible to worship God in the tabernacles of nature, men should do their best to provide houses of beauty, sanctuaries of appealing simplicity and artistic embellishment, so that the highest of human emotions may be aroused in association with the intellectual approach to spiritual communion with God. Truth, beauty, and holiness are powerful and effective aids to true worship, but spirit communion is not promoted by mere massive ornateness or overmuch embellishment with man's elaborate and ostentatious art. Beauty is most religious when it is most simple and nature-like, just like your song, Marianne. How unfortunate that little children should have their first introduction to concepts of public worship in cold and barren rooms, so devoid of the beauty appeal and so empty of all suggestion of good cheer and inspiring holiness. The child should be introduced to worship in nature's outdoors and later accompany his parents to public houses of religious assembly, which are at least as materially attractive and artistically beautiful as the home in which he is daily domiciled. Isn't that a beautiful quote about worshiping in nature?
You know, I would like to add something, everyone. Jeffrey just mentioned the fact, I'm so happy you said that, Jeffrey, when you clarified the fact that it's going to be a festival. And I just want to say what I said in Montreal in 2010 when we first gave birth to the United Urantia family on Earth. And that is that when I had this inspiration of this whole event, which I truly, deeply, and sincerely believe that Jesus is the father of this project, I did say in prayer to Jesus, you know, I have difficulty with the world, with the word festival. The United, fine. Urantia, sure. Family, wow. Festival, not sure about that, because I had in mind festival like this party where everybody gets drunk or stoned or whatever, and that was not particularly in my mind what I thought of a spiritual gathering. And as true as my name is Diane Labrec, I was immediately sent to go to my my library, where I have a book. It's called The Dictionary of Word Origins. Only God knew, because I had bought that book years ago and completely forgotten about it, put it on the shelf and never looked at it. And I was inspired. Go look at the word festival in that book. I pull out my dictionary, and lo and behold, I started to read, and it said festival. It comes from the word festivity and also feast. And in Latin, it's the word festus, which meant joyful, merry. And it says this was used as a plural noun, festa, meaning celebratory ceremony, particularly of a religious nature.
Oh, great.
And I said, of course, Jesus. How could you be wrong? And it all made sense. So we are going to have a religious celebratory ceremony of his United Urantia family. So I was so happy that you said that, Jeffrey, because it gave me a chance to tell the listeners about the festival we will have.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And Jeffrey, hang on here with us. We have Meredith Tenney on the line now. Meredith, are you there?
I sure am. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Meredith.
Hi, Meredith.
Hi, Crystalline.
Hi, Meredith.
It's wonderful to hear all your voices, and yours too, Diane.
Good morning, you Urantia family.
Well, I was so pleased to have Diane ask me to speak a little about my experience in Montreal at the first Tufts Festival.
So what were your impressions, Meredith?
Well, it was, my first impression was, duh, why didn't we do this before? it was almost a no-brainer. After the politics and the fallout that had happened 15 years ago, it was a movement. Our movement was split into so many different political factions that there was really a crying need for bringing the family together, for reminding us that we are one family. And I think Diane had her ear to Michael's heart and heard that call. And she invited people from every walk in the Urantia movement to come together in Montreal. And they did. And then she set up a facilitator who invited everyone to speak their vision. I was so honored to be a part of that. And then the facilitator worked with the group as a whole to try to determine what we might do together. It was a wonderful exercise.
Yes.
It was a groundbreaking event. And although the initial results of that were small, you begin with baby steps. And
mm-hmm.
I've seen a ripple effect of that collaborative desire to work together spread through the movement in the years since. So I'm just so grateful to the Tufts group for pulling that together for all of us.
And you know what happens at these events is that people come together and new ideas ignite, and even long-standing projects move forward, and it gives us an opportunity to collaborate and to confer with each other. I think that's also what you had in mind too, Diane.
Yes, and I like the fact that Meredith said the word tough, because for the listeners, tough is spelled T-U-U-F-F, and it's the acronym for the United Urantia Family Festival. And sometimes I like to think of it as tough. We're tough. We've made it through. We've made it through thick and thin, and we're still together, and we're here, and we're here to stay.
Right.
Is everybody there?
Yeah.
Yes, and it would be nice to say that the facilitator's name was Harry Menton, because he did such a beautiful work, and we need to say thank you, Harry, for the incredible work that you did, like Meredith described.
He did
do a good job.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
beautiful.
I love the analogy of dropping your knives.
Yeah, that was a great way to start.
I remember.
And just as that effort in Montreal was at the cutting edge of where the movement needed to go, so this new effort to gather again on Jesus' birthday in the Mariposa Grove also strikes me as at the cutting edge of where we're all headed. You know, I had a lovely opportunity to meet with Rick Brunson, a UBer, a few weeks ago while we were down in Mexico. And he shared with me his theory that there were five levels of spirituality. And I hope you'll forgive me if I don't get it exactly right. But his first level was the atheist, the person who does not believe in anything. And his second level was the agnostic, that individual who wants to believe in something but is not sure that they do. Mm. And the third level he described as the nominal Christian, the person who goes to church every Sunday because it's expected, but sits there in the pew and is not invested. And
duty-bound.
Yeah. And the fourth level he described as the believer, that person who intellectually believes in a universal source and center. But the highest level he described as living faith, and that is the person who lives the relationship with God that allows their lives to become transformed. And it strikes me that going to the Mariposa Grove is an act of living faith.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a we'll study from a scholastic perspective, although that has value. It's a stepping out to say, I believe what's in that book, and I believe it with such living faith that I'm going to step out and act on that. I'm going to go where the Archangel headquarters is, perhaps, and I'm going to be in relationship as a cosmic citizen with God the Father and with the Archangels wherever they are.
Right.
And that strikes me as just the perfect thing for us to do.
Me too.
And
so
I have the sense that we as a movement and this event specifically has a great deal of support, external support, because of the fact that our intention in coming together is to improve our familial relationship. And even those of us who have dedicated our lives to living faith and who have very strong convictions about cosmic citizenship, I have to say very few of us really have a good handle on what being a really cosmic family really means. You know, what are the elements to really divine friendships or eternal relationships, relationships that have eternal potential? what those really feel like and look like, and how they are manifested. And so every opportunity we give the angels to help us to grow in this direction, I think is really supported and will be, what's the word I'm looking for, will just be promoted in a celestial sense, you know, something that will be supported, because this is really the beginning of how we do grow as a family. We do need to learn some of those skills of cosmic citizenship and of really embodying fruits of the spirit.
This is so nice what you just said, Crystalline. As you were talking, I was just taking note of what you said, Meredith, those five levels. And as I wrote them down, I realized that those five levels have to do with personal growth, personal spiritual growth. And then I thought, seven seems to be God's number. So I thought, six, seven, what could that be? And to me, the sixth one I would like to add, if you allow me, Meredith, and it's in line with what you just said, Crystalline, and the sixth one I would say is to be a true disciple, to go beyond ourselves. Once we have become a person who has a living faith, then at the sixth level, we become a disciple of Jesus Christ, Michael. We actually experience it and we allow him to express it through us to others. So it's the altruistic. And then the seventh level is a soul survivor. And the soul survivor is the heavenly level, and that has to do with the cosmic citizenship. So I just wanted to add this because the two of you together seem to have brought that up, and that's very nice.
Well, that's very nice indeed.
It's nice.
We have we now have Ron Craig on the line as well. So
then
go
I'll
ahead,
take the line.
Well, no, finish your
thought. You're welcome to stay
then,
on the line if you want.
Yeah. And I'll put Ron on when you're done with your thought. You were just going to say something.
Well, I just wanted to say that increasingly when we gather as a movement, I find myself feeling as though I'm going to a family gathering. And I look forward to being with my family next August. I know it will be a wonderful experience.
And Meredith, you embody that lovely, beautiful motherly energy. I mean, you are such a sister in Jesus. You
so
are.
Much so.
And I just
I'm trying to model myself
radiant.
After the three of you.
Oh, please. And, you know, I have to say, too, Jeffrey and Charles are such brothers and so brotherly, so fatherly brotherly. So Diane, you've picked a wonderful team that embodies the ideals.
Great
that you're
family members.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And by the way, are Jeffrey and Marianne still with us on the line?
No, they're not. Yeah. They dropped.
Yeah, I am.
So how about
Marianne
we thank them?
Sorry,
Marianne. Oh, Marianne is.
Yeah.
Okay. So
yeah.
How about we thank Jeffrey for taking his precious time, because I know he has such a busy schedule, and he actually took the time to be with us, and I want to say thank you, Jeffrey. We love you, our dear spiritual brother, and I had to say that. And Meredith, we just love you to pieces.
Indeed.
Love you ladies too, and I'll say goodbye now.
All right, sweetheart. All right,
thank you.
And we'll put Ron on.
Ron, Ron and Liz.
Yeah, Ron and Liz. Hi, you two. Are you there?
Hello. Yes, hello.
Hello.
This is Ron and Craig saying hello to one and all, especially to Jeff. Been a while since I've seen him.
Hi, Ron.
Hi, Diane. Hey, Leah's on the other phone, but she's on her phone. So I've been listening
Can
to your
program.
Can you
connect with Liz?
I don't know if she has or not, but she's calling
in. Oh, I have a 111, which is a Skype number. Do you think that might be Liz? I also have an 816 number.
It's not. I don't think it's 816.
Okay, how about 701? Could that be her?
No, I don't think so.
559 is Liz.
Yep.
Okay. Well, let's try the Skype number and just see.
Yeah.
Hello, is this Liz?
Hello, can you guys hear me?
Yeah,
we can. Hi.
I'm
hey, Liz.
That I'm on a Skype number.
Okay.
That
well,
wasn't intentional. Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Great to hear your voice, girl.
Oh, it's good to hear you guys, too. How are y'all doing today?
We're
wonderful.
Doing great. And it's wonderful to have Liz Craig and Ron, your dad, Ron Craig. And Ron was at the last family festival. Liz, were you at the one in Montreal?
She was.
Yes, I was. Actually, funny story, even though I grew up a second generation, the Montreal Festival was my first conference ever.
Oh, wow.
So,
yeah.
What a great start.
I have kind of a story to kind of tell about that on the going to the Montreal conference. I was originally decided to go to pick up an award for a friend of mine, Vern, who was not traveling at that time, and I was busy working with I was still in commercial work at the time, and I had a couple of fairly good sized jobs going on, so I made the plans to go, and we left in the afternoon, and I really didn't look at the schedules all that close because I didn't pay that much attention to it. In fact, I wasn't even absolutely certain I was going to go until kind of the last minute. So we flew out in the afternoon, and we didn't get to Montreal until about 9:30 at night. I didn't really even take into account the time difference. So we arrived there, it's dark, and then by the time you get through customs, it's about 10 to 10:30 at night, and I didn't even have, all I had for an address of the conference or festival was the University of Montreal. Well, I got a map. I'm not a person that likes to ask people too much where they go. I like to work off a map. And the University of Montreal was all over. I mean, that's like, it's own city,
yeah,
so I arrived there.
Spread all over downtown.
It's spread all over downtown, and everybody speaks French. I don't. So I was feeling somewhat intimidated. And then we get on this bus to go out to the university, and it's been going from 10:30 to finally the time we get out to where the bus stops around the university. It's an hour later. It's about 11:30. And my daughter wants to go out and find, you know, where this place is. You know, and it's
I was very eager.
No idea where I'm at, and I can't understand anything that people are saying. So I rented a room, and I hope the bus stop was at a hotel, so I rented a room. And the next morning, I got up early. I tend to rise early, and so I went out with the idea of finding this place. And I couldn't find anyone that understood English. I'm sure that they're there, but I couldn't find them, even including a policeman I stopped. And finally, I came across a student that knew how to use the phone systems at the university and knew how knew who to talk to find out what events were taking place. And this individual found out where the location was and actually walked us over to where it was at. And that struck me as an example of family activity in mm-hmm. a good way. You know, this person was not a humanities book student at all and wasn't interested in the book. I mentioned the book to him. I offered to to pay him some or something. He wouldn't take any of that. But he took his time to, call in, which actually he had to go through two or three different sources once he got on the phone to actually find the location of where the activities were. And then he actually walked us to its location. And I've always thought of that as a very positive kind of an example of when Jesus in Gaina walked the lost child back to its back to his parents.
Very nice.
And so that's a good example of family activity, and it is something that anyone can use as an example of improving their life, to help someone else find their way.
Indeed.
And
good story.
As Jesus said, did we not supremely enjoy that?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. This person has absolutely no association at all with the conference, and wasn't. Mm-hmm. I mentioned the book to him. Wasn't particularly interested in that. He had other things to do, but he was quite interested in getting us to our location. It took time out of his day, which was
It was at least a half an hour, wasn't it, that he like spent with us?
Oh yeah, at least half.
At least, if not more.
He was on the phone for 10 to 15 minutes on the phone, running down the different, finding the right person to talk to find out where the location was.
He may have said that he didn't need it at the moment, but at least he was living it, and that's the most important thing. It's not to know it, it's to do it. And so he was doing it.
Yes, he was doing it. I do think that's a real good example of a family life, where, you know, a family activity.
It is. It's taking responsibility. We had a similar experience, Ron, my little traveling buddy Maymay and me. And we took a free flight. We had miles saved up to get to Montreal, and so we had a long connection, and we got in there very late, about midnight. And we didn't have the right change for the bus, and we couldn't get the right change. And the bus driver was so kind to us. Here we were, me and my little pal. May was 15 at the time. She's such a good traveler. And he was like, it's fine, just get on, I'll take you down. And then he dropped us off on a corner, and we didn't know where we were, and it was like 2 a.m., and there was a group of students, and they were very kind. They were standing right next to us, and they said, where do you guys want to go? Here we were, you know, with our luggage and just standing there looking bewildered, and they led us to exactly where we needed to be. And it was this very similar experience. And sometimes it reminds me of Jesus, you know, in the blind man, where he makes him go through all of that to get to the pool so that he can get his sight back. Sometimes the thrill of the adventure getting there is as good as anything else.
And I think that, Liz, you were with you went with Truth Seekers, didn't you?
Yes. I didn't plan before I left to go with Truth Seekers, but my dad is friends with Tom Joquette, and basically he saw my dad and he saw me in an elevator, and he was like, well, you're coming with us. And I was like, I didn't really know what was going on at the time, because I didn't even know what Truth Seekers was. And he brought me along, and it was that the Truth Seekers in Montreal, I can say, changed my life. I mean, I did things. I always look back at the ropes course that we did. I am so scared of heights. No, it is. It's ridiculous. I'm so scared of heights, and I was literally shaking and terrified of just going up the first ladder to get on the like low ropes course. But Tom and everyone else, they were so supportive, and they were right there with me, and it really showed me, like, how, you know, supportive this community is, and yeah. I was blown away, and it was amazing, and I didn't do the full ropes course, but I did the first part. I can say I did the first level. I'm very proud of myself. I'll probably never do a ropes course again, but I can officially say I have done a ropes course, and it was awesome. It was a great experience, and I had so much fun.
Oh, and it's great, so because great. I just received an email from Susan Cook saying that Tom Choquette and Fred Harris with the Truth Seekers, Liz, are going to be there next summer at Jesus' birthday. And I would like everyone to know that to say that Liz is part of the Yaya group. Maybe you can explain what Yaya means and to say what you have accepted to do next summer for Jesus' birthday.
Well, Yaya stands for Youth and Young Adults, and we we're a committee that tries to meet, well, we do meet twice a year, sometimes more than that, and just gather the younger generations of your Answerbook readers. And we have gladly accepted to put on a dance party for Jesus' birthday.
Yoo-hoo!
So, yeah. I think that'll be a lot of fun and good times.
And Diane?
Festivities.
Yes. Diane?
Yes?
Yeah, let's also remember that Friday night we have planned a Yosemite Idol, so that those and the Yayas who have a musical ability or would like to share poetry or whatever it is in some way, that we'll have an opportunity to do that on Friday night.
That was such a great idea that Marianne had, Crystalline and Paula, when we did our site visit about a month and a half ago at Yosemite. We're going to be staying at Wawona Camp. Wawona Camp, by the way, for the listeners, is the only camp there is in Yosemite Park. And they happen to be just next to the Grizzly Giant. And so they have a beautiful land. I think you will agree, Marianne, that they
Absolutely.
Have a... They have a 40-acre piece of land that we've rented for ourselves. So United Urantia family is going to have the whole Wawona camp to themselves, to ourselves, and we will be enjoying the whole place. And then Marianne had this brilliant idea. She said, hey, folks, why don't we have this, you know, usually it's the American Idol. She said, why don't we have the Urantia Idol? So on Friday night, we're going to be listening to the talents and, you know, so I thought it was such a brilliant idea, so we intend to do that on Friday night.
Fantastic. Oh, I'm getting so excited.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of rejoicing.
Well, and Diane, I want to point out also that from the Montreal Family Festival, it really was a festival, and it really was fun.
Mm-hmm.
And we just had a lot of fun together. And you had given me at one point the analogy of, you know, when your family is all gathered around and everybody's in their jammies and you're eating popcorn and watching a movie or playing a game, that's what you kind of envisioned, that
yes.
that kind of family time and bonding together. And it really was that.
And that's what we had. We
what,
just didn't have the pajamas because it was summer.
Well, right.
You know?
But you
it
really
was
did create that. And you know, hats off to you for all the hard work you put in on the first one and all the hard work you're putting in on this one,
oh.
as well as your team. I know your team has worked really
yes.
hard. And,
yes,
and
yes.
having done a couple of international conferences with the Urantia Book Fellowship, I know how much work it takes.
I would say it's not hard work. I would say it's loving work. It's devoted work. I do it with such a passion that, you know, you just don't even think of time or any of the material issues like salary or time or clock or whatever. You just go where your heart brings you and you do it 12 hours in a row if you have to. It's just a work of love, and that's what the celebration will be. Work of love, and Ron and Liz are lucky because this time it's on their turf. They live right next to that. And I want to say on the air, thank you, Ron, because I've done two site visits so far, and I intend to do one or two more. And Ron has been so gracious. He lives right next to Vern Grimsley, who has passed away lately, and Nancy, who is still there. And they have hosted me and Liz as well. We've had wonderful times together. He's driven me to Camp Wawona. And Ron has been incredible. So we owe him, you know, a lot of thank you and gratitude because he's helping to make the event much easier. Because when I went there, I did not know the place. I did not know anything. And so thank you, Ron, for your help.
You're most welcome, and I might add, you know, in traveling, it really does make a difference if you have a contact when you arrive at a location in which you don't know anybody at all. And
absolutely.
Especially if the location is one in which they don't speak the same language that you do.
That helps.
Yeah. So that's a good tip for, I think, all Urantia Book students to welcome people that arrive in their area in one form or another to help chauffeur them around or just to greet them. You know, that's kind of
yes.
like Urantia companions to a certain extent.
Hey, that's a good point.
Yes,
it is.
And I think we're going to have a lot of a good time with Liz's party at night. It's right on Jesus' birthday after we have come back from the Grizzly Giant and we've done our personal and family pilgrimage to the Grizzly Giant, and with Marianne's beautiful music, Christina Seaborn is going to be with us. She's going to play live at the Grizzly Giant. Oh, I shouldn't have said it. Anyway, I said it. Okay, and after all of this, we will all reconvene at Wawona Camp, and we will have a beautiful meal outside, a celebratory meal with Jesus' birthday cake. And then after that, Liz was so nice to tell me, she said, oh, you know, Diane, I think the music is going to be more like a, how did you say that, Liz, the kind of music you're going to have at night?
Like, kind of like wedding music, makes everyone happy.
Yeah. Yes.
That's great.
The, how did you say, the oldies, the oldies songs, you know, the ones that make you go like, yippee,
like,
let's
classics,
get up.
Classics, yeah.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
The good old classics, maybe the electric slide.
The wedding singer.
Yay.
Yeah, she's going to be the DJ. That's going to be really nice. So it's, I really, really look forward. Oh, maybe we should tell everyone, Camp Wawona has to respect the Yosemite Park rule, which is that they can only host 300 people, and so the first 300 registrations are it. Even if people ask us, offer us $10,000 to come, if the 300 number is reached, then we cannot have any more people. So everyone has received an email from us yesterday with a nice header, the United Urantia Family Festival. If you click on there, the ones who do want to give you a $100 deposit to at least reserve your space, just like not only Paula, you were the first one, but there were two people who were first, Paula and Crystalline. So it's interesting that the two of you were the first people registered, and we need to have people register soon because the registrations are going very well, that's all I can say, and they're going fast. And so people who do want to be with us at this one-time memorable event, then you can only give another deposit sometime maybe in February and the rest in May. So it's very, very affordable for everyone. It's only about $395 for the whole celebration, plus your flight ticket or your transportation expense. So it promises to be a memorable event, and the only thing is we have a limited number of people, and we have, again, Susan Cook, who confirmed that the Truth Seekers are going to be there, the Yaya group with Teva Orjula and Liz Craig, and the whole group in Alaska have registered. So we have people from Finland, we have people from Africa, we have people from South America. So it's going to be beautiful.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes.
I actually have someone holding online from North Dakota right now. I don't know if it's somebody that you had planned to speak or just a caller listening, but would you like me to see if they...
The only thing is that in about 4 minutes, we're supposed to have our dear friend Pato Benton on. And I don't know if that caller has a question. We can go ahead, but we're going to have to. We'll have Pato coming in.
Yes, okay. Hold on. Area code 701, you're with us on the Cosmic Citizen.
Hello.
Hello. Were you just listening, or did you have a question for everyone?
Oh, I'm just listening today.
Okay. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening. Okay, so yeah,
It's still Ron and Liz's time, so
yeah,
maybe
they're still on for sure.
Oh, good.
I might mention that going up there that I noticed as I walked around as Diane was looking at all the cabins and different things that they have a ropes course and things set up behind. It already does behind. I don't know if they're going to be used, but. They have a setup, and the thing for climbing the rocks, that camp already has those facilities there that they sponsor for, obviously, for other groups, because there's lots of different groups that go to that facility. But they have a somewhat elaborate ropes course set up right behind the little cabin that Diane was staying. If you walk up behind there, and also a place for climbing rocks, so...
Thanks for mentioning, Ron, because...
I'm sure Tom Choquette would eyeball that.
Exactly. And it's interesting that you mentioned, because the listeners should know that, as it was mentioned before, it's a festival, so there's going to be no quote-unquote academia. It's not going to be a breakout session and you go in classes. It's going to be a family celebration. So all mornings are going to be devoted to, we start with prayer and worship with the musical group directed by Marianne Brundage. She's the musical director with all the other great artists that we have, Joshua, Christina, Barbara, Robert, and so on. And after that, we're going to have family gatherings in the morning so that people from the foundation, we have Gar Jamieson, who's going to have a retreat the day before. We have, hopefully, Mo is supposed, told me that he's supposed to come, people from the association, people from the foundation, people from the fellowship, people from all the different groups. So in the morning, we're going to have the live updates from the people. Buck Weimer is going to be there with Arlene to tell us about his beautiful service that he does around the world, and so on and so forth. And after that, we're going to have lunch, and in the afternoon, we're going to have family activities, and they all have professionally trained staff. They have the bridge, the falls, they have the tree, the rope, they have an Olympic-size pool. The teenagers are going to be staying in the yurts, beautiful, brand-new yurts, and they also have covered wagons, authentic wagons, and they have their area up in the woods with their fireplace area. It's going to be really nice right next to the horse barns. And so we have 40 acres to ourselves to enjoy for 5 days, and we have plenty of time. Like Crystalline is the program director, and so Crystalline made sure that we're going to have time to ourselves to exchange, because every day all participants are going to belong to a different family group of 7 to 10 members. So in the morning when you go for breakfast, you look at your name, you're going to find out which family you belong to, and from that moment on, you go have breakfast, and you sit at the table of the number you are, and then the whole morning you stay together, and in the afternoon you go do a family activity with a theme to work on. And after that, at night, we reconvene for a barbecue, and then we have a review of all the representatives of each family unit. And then after that, a dance, and then a musical celebration. There's going to be Marianne is going to have different artists perform, like jazz, classical music, country. It's going to be one memorable event.
Mm. And as per Charles Olivier's request, as well as many others, we're going to also do our very best to have some unstructured time as well,
mm-hmm.
so that things aren't just, you know, really packed together. Activities aren't just totally packed together.
That's something right. very dear to your heart, Crystal, and I know, and I think it's important to have time to just sit and chat or go for a walk or, you know, you're going to be in a beautiful place. So those opportunities will be abundant, I think. And
yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we have a beautiful program. It is very nice because everyone in the team has a very precious suggestion to bring on. And so, as we know, God gives his gift to who he wants, the way he wants, and everybody is so talented. And we have a great team. We have Aurora Hill. We have Kathy George. We have Barbara Newsom with us. We have Stephanie Schaefer. We have Lisa Crow, Ed Harrigan, Charles. We have Patrick Yesh, many people. So it's a team effort. It's a family team effort, and the result we expect is going to be a great celebration, a great festival.
Wonderful.
And talking about celebration, do we have our last family member guest, too? Is he on the line?
Well, let's see. He is
323?
Not yet. He isn't yet.
Okay, so then everybody else can... Marianne, would you like to add something, or Ron, or Liz, or Meredith?
Meredith.
I just wanted to, again, reiterate what a wonderful space we have at Camp Wawona. And I just think people are really going to enjoy the facilities there. And you're going to feel like you're at a camp, no doubt about it, but it's just, it's beautiful. They have a beautiful swimming pool. They've got, I just think there'll be endless things to appreciate there.
And, you know, if a person has never been to Yosemite, oh, my gosh, even for no other reason than just to go there.
Yes.
I mean, even if there wasn't a celebration of Jesus' birthday, which is Urantian High Holy Day, and we all get real misty-eyed and you know, reverent on that day anyway, but to be in probably one of the most beautiful places on earth is going to be exquisite. I mean, I think it's going to be exquisite. And the very fact, Diane, that you've got that camp on Jesus' birthday, that was a miracle to me.
It was, yes. It was, Paula, because I would like to say Michael McIsaac wrote to me when we first announced the event, and Mike said, Diane, would it be possible to have the event a little earlier because some teenagers may be going back to school? And I said, sure, Mike, I'll just do that right away and get back to you. So I contacted Camp Wawona, who, by the way, are such beautiful people. It's the Seventh-day Adventist, just like Dr. Sadler was, and they opened up their arms to us. And I called them and I said, would it be possible to reschedule like earlier? And he said, well, Diane, you know, I have to tell you, from the beginning that we opened the season, like early spring, to the closing of the season, late fall, there's only 1 week available, and it's that week. And I thought to myself, duh, do you think this is pure coincidence, Diane, August 21st, and that's the only week they have? So I said, oh, you know what, I think we'll keep that week. So I said to Michael McIsaac, sorry, Mike, but it seems it was preordained because that's the only week they have, and it's incredible because they're very, very much in demand. They're the
and
only
they're booked
one.
A couple of years in advance. So really amazing that we got this time.
And I called all the other places. And by the way, I want the listeners to know not to expect a hotel room. It's a camp, beautiful, modern, clean, a state-of-the-art, but it's a camp. So just like someone said earlier, we go camping. The beds are beautiful. They're all covered. We're going to have sleeping bags for everyone. But it's a camping experience, a family. It's not tents. They're all buildings, very nice. But we do hope and that people will appreciate the fact that we share. We have become very spoiled by having our own homes, our own castles, our own condos, and our own this and that. But these camps are like for sharing. So we're going to have different buildings with different setups, and people are going to be rooming together. And I also want
a kids' summer camp.
Yes. Yes, but very nice. I mean, Marianne, you were there.
Absolutely, yeah.
Did you like it?
And I absolutely did. I think it's going to be very comfortable.
Yes.
Diane, is there some website that you would like to send people to where they can explore Camp Wawona and also find out more about the United Urantia Family Festival?
It's www.tuf. T as Thomas, U, F as Fernando, meaning the United Urantia Family Festival. And thank you for mentioning, Paula, because as we're talking, I see that we have a bunch of new registrations. So you do have listeners. Because
we do.
Yeah.
Indeed we do.
Indeed you do. Because I just opened the website and we have new registrations. So thank you, everyone. And we so look forward to meet all of you and get to do a family bonding, to meet new sisters, new brothers from around the world that we don't even know. We are all sons and daughters of God, and yet we don't know one another yet. And this, I don't want to cry, but it's going to be moving because we ought to know one another in the spirit of love and fraternity and brotherhood and peace and harmony, and this is what it will be. So I so look forward to meet the people that we yet don't know and who will introduce themselves to us and us to them. So we have more registrations. Thank you, God.
Yay. Well, that was sort of the point of doing this promotion in December, too, is to try to get as many registrations as we can before the rates go up and
yes.
before the end of the year.
Yes.
And just a reminder, we do really have limited space available, so do register as soon as you can.
This
yes.
is going to be an event that people will talk about for a while. And
that is so true, Paula.
You know,
I had
kind of
a
once-in-a-lifetime event.
Yes.
Yes. There
and
is someone
actually,
in the...
Once,
yes.
once one thing, a thing that has never before occurred in the history of our world.
Exactly. Exactly. And I had someone who wrote to me, sent me an actual Terry McCade, if some of you know him. I don't know Terry personally, but I will know him. He's coming. And he sent me a video from Camp Rowona, and he said, Diane, here I am at the new amphitheater. My God, it's beautiful. And it was like a 4 or 5 minute video, and I was so happy to hear from him. And then I called him to thank him for what he had done, his kind gesture. And so we had a nice chat together, and I found out that Terry is a 40-some year reader, or 50 years anyway, like a long time reader. And he was there in the time of Dr. Sadler and Christy Christensen, and met them. And he said to me, Diane, this will be a long-remembered event. And I was so moved. It brought me to tears because coming from him, he said, I've been to many events, and I've been with the Urantia Book for 40, 45 years anyway. And he said, this for years will be remembered. And we have to remember, if I can say it without breaking out, that we will be there on Jesus' birthday, August 21st, at noon, at the headquarters, at the Grizzly Giant, in the presence of angels, where they all sing, all hail the power of the name of Jesus, of Jesus' name. And so it will be very touching, and it will be a great, great, great ceremony there as well. So,
and guess what? We have Pato with us, so let's put
hey.
Him on.
Hey, Pato.
Hey, Pato. Hey, brother, are you there? Pato Benton. Pato? Well, we got 323 on the line.
He's a real artist. He wants to be called and recalled. And
he must
we
have
want
us on
Pato.
Mute. Pato, do you have us on mute? we'll hope that, you know, Pato
he comes on.
Comes on, yeah. Because it's your turn, Pato, and we want to hear from you. And I'm just going to leave him on. I wanted to share a story about the giant redwoods and Theodore Roosevelt, if I could. May Lee, Glenn, my husband, and I all went north on a search for the giant redwoods, and we went through the Avenue of the Giants. This was when May was about 3 or 4 years old. And we just stopped on the side of the road. We said, wow, that looks like a nice place to hike. So we walked through the forest, beautiful, beautiful giant redwoods everywhere and covered with ferns and clover. And it was just a magical fairy forest. You know, you just felt like you were with the ancient giants. And we came upon this big stump, huge stump, had to have been 15 feet across. And we're like, wow, look at that. This huge stump. Somebody cut down this stellar tree, this monarch of the forest. Somebody got it down. And we just stood in stunned silence. And then I noticed this plaque. And the plaque was about a man and a woman back in the, you know, early part of the 20th century, who were walking in the forest, and they noticed that this tree had been cut down by loggers, and they became completely irate. And I know in Northern California these guys are legendary, and I can't think of their name, I'm sorry, but they started a movement to save the giant trees, and along with Theodore Roosevelt, and they put a plaque up with a quote by Theodore Roosevelt on it, and the quote was simply that, you know, we can't abide by cutting down something that has been here before the pharaohs walked to put shingles on our roofs. We simply can't do it. And it was so moving. It was so, so moving. And so when you think about what it took for these courageous men and women, including Theodore Roosevelt and John Muir, to save these monarchs,
yes,
that actually were on this earth before the pharaohs walked, the oldest living things on earth, probably among the oldest living things on earth, and how magnificent they are and how beautiful they are. And we have a chance to go worship among them,
mm-hmm,
with our angels, who we know, and my friend Steve McIntosh told me years ago that there's a giant crystal field under Yosemite.
Mm.
So it could very well be Urantia's Sea of Glass, and it would make perfect sense then why the angels would have their headquarters there. Certainly,
wow,
people come from all over the world to see,
yes,
it. And
do we have Pato now?
Well, we lost him. He dropped off, and I don't know if he had some technical problems or not. We might
maybe
get him
he
back.
Will come back on.
I hope.
Yeah.
Pato, if you're listening, call back in.
Yeah, we saw you. We put you on, and then we lost you. So call back in.
As we end, Paula, if we have time, would it be possible to play the other song from Marianne Brundage?
Absolutely will.
Because
it's a six-minute song, so
yes,
we want to end the show with that. We just need to keep in mind that we have,
yes,
16 minutes left. So another 10 minutes of show, and then we'll end this wonderful show with Marianne's other song.
Because it would be wonderful for everyone to just visualize. Especially, I call upon all the mothers who have children, and we all love our children with so much unconditional love. And this song is called Christ Child Lullaby. And we can just imagine, envision Mary, who just gave birth to her baby, baby Jesus. And with so much tender love, she sings him a lullaby. And at the same time, Marianne plays the harp. And in the music, we will listen to the harp as well as this beautiful, in French we say la flûte des bois, which means the flute of the wooden flute, like in the woods. And for everyone to think of this motherly love sung as a lullaby to her baby Jesus, that she loves so much. Gabriel, Archangel Gabriel, has just told her a few months before that she will give birth to the deliverer of the earth. And at the same time, think when it will be the musical part of being in the woods of this giant sequoias, where it will be so silent and so peaceful and so, as you said, Paula, so conducive to meditation, a sacred space. And that song will be really, really beautiful. And so it's going to be such a beautiful way to end the program today. And thank you once again, Marianne, for your inspiration, your talent, your God-given talent, and for having sent these to us, because they're a delight.
Thank you.
Also,
I'm grateful to be a part of it.
I was mistaken. It's a 7-minute and 27-second song, so we do have,
yes,
to leave a little more time for it.
At 52.
I'm sure, after hearing your first one, Marianne, I'm sure I'm going to just absolutely love this one, and I want to make sure we leave enough time for our listeners to hear it.
Maybe. I don't know if Pato is there.
No, he's not. I'm keeping an eye,
okay,
out for him, and he may have been called away. You know, Pato has a busy schedule.
Yes.
As we know, and you mentioned Jeff Waddles. He's a university professor, Jeff is. And so, yeah, you know, thank you to all of our callers today for calling. And Diane, thank you for arranging this. It's been really nice to have everybody on.
In a way, I feel motherly, so I had to get the family members to come on board and share their experience. And thank you all. It's such a beautiful experience. It's been an incredible program.
It has.
Do we still have our guests on?
Well, we still have Liz, and we have Marianne. I think Ron dropped off. We have somebody who's been holding for quite a while, 816, area code 816, and I didn't have it on the list, so I can put them on for a few minutes.
Sure.
Okay. Area code 816, you're with us on the Cosmic Citizen. Did you have a comment?
Hello, sisters and everyone. This is Lee in Kansas City.
Oh, it is Lee.
Yeah.
Hi, Lee.
Hi, Lee.
I should write down your number so I have it memorized.
Yeah, because you'll probably be seeing it a lot. So.
Okay.
I really was just listening, but since I'm on air, I want to say I really appreciate the program. It's been so uplifting and warm and inspiring and just rich. It's just been rich, the whole thing. I'm really even sorry it's over. It's like it went by too fast.
Oh, well, it is fun to do this with, you know, and to talk about a gathering that's going to be very special, I think. And, boy, Lee, I hope you get to go. I would love to see you there.
I would love to be there. All during the broadcast, I was thinking, how can I get there? I have to hurry up because the registrations are filling up.
And you actually lived in that neck of the woods for a long time, didn't you? You lived in San Francisco or the thereabouts.
Well, yes, and when I was first married, my husband and I at the time were living on the backside of Yosemite, in Half Dome in Yosemite.
Mm.
And so, you
wow.
know, yeah, and it's a tiny little peninsula of solid granite that sticks out of the backside of Half Dome in a little town of 200 called Big Creek, and that's where we lived. And I remember one time a Urantia Book reader came up to visit us because we put out the word to everybody that we knew who read the Urantia Book, please come and visit us because we live in the boondocks. And the reader said, when I drove to your place, because there was a long drive, you know, through a lot of winding mountainous roads, he said, I really got this understanding of the phrase Purple Mountains Majesty.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Well, Ed, we should also let Crystalline tell us that Phyllis Tickle is going to be on next week, and then I'd like Marianne to tell us a little bit about this song, and we'll play the song.
Okay, well, Phyllis Tickle, who you heard either last week or the week before, we replayed the show of her previous program with us. She's going to be on this next week talking about a gathering that she's having in Memphis, Tennessee in January, which I think is almost filled, and also talking about her new book. So for people interested in the emergent movement and the history of Christianity, tune in to hear the very informative Phyllis Tickle.
Lively and informative.
Lively and informative, indeed.
Such a fun interview. And Marianne, do you want to tell us a little bit about this song before we play it?
Sure. This is a Welsh tune that I arranged. And by the way, this is with a band that I had for many years called Mystic Harmony. And you can hear more if you go online to cdbaby.com if you're interested. But anyway, in putting a Christmas CD together, I had heard this folk song sung by various different people and was always very struck by it. And when I went to record, it was almost like it played itself. And you'll understand when you hear the words, it's a very humbling piece because she questions her ability, her worthiness, you know, as the mother of Christ. So it's very beautiful. I hope you'll enjoy
beautiful.
It.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much, and thank you for being on the show. And
you're
we'll play.
Welcome.
Yes, and for your gifts. And folks, here's a preview of coming attractions, the United Urantia Family Festival coming up this coming summer. And I'm going to play Marianne's song, The Lullaby.
My love, my treasure.
That may be one of the prettiest things I've ever heard.
Indeed. Isn't that beautiful?
Thank you so much.
Thank you so
just
much.
Just think
Mary.
Of Mother Mary with her son, baby Jesus. Oh,
beautiful, beautiful.
Mm. Well, that brings us to the end of another Cosmic Citizen program.
It sure does.
Wasn't that a beautiful program?
Yes.
We hope
you.
You'll
thank
tune
you.
In again next week. And thank you, Diane, and all of our guests. For calling in.
Our pleasure.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you for having us, actually. Inform everyone about the United Urantia family.
And I'm glad to know that registrations are up. That makes me feel good. So
yes. There is an interest.
Spread. You can share the show as much as you like. You know, you'll have the archive. It'll be in the archives. So if you want people to listen, and you can send it out to your list too, Diane, and they'll be able to listen when they get a chance. So
we can say the family spirit is in the air.
That's right. and we'll leave it at that. And until next week, we hope you guys have a wonderful week. And thanks for listening.
Bye for now.
Bye for now.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Cosmic Citizen, a radio program focused primarily on the study and discussion of the Urantia Book and its teachings. The Urantia Book is a religious text that claims to be written by angels and other superhuman personalities. If you are a Urantia Book reader or a spiritual seeker looking for new truth, we hope and pray you have been nourished and edified by our ministry. Please remember that the views expressed on this program do not reflect the official views and opinions of any Urantia organizations. There is no official interpretation of the Urantia Book. So all opinions expressed on this program exclusively reflect the personal biases of the hosts, guests, and callers who participate in these discussions. And remember, only a brave person is willing honestly to admit and fearlessly to face what a sincere and logical mind discovers.